Today, this lecture is adapted from an interview in Christian History magazine. It addresses some of the background issues that influenced the group we know as the Desert Fathers. The group we know as the Desert Fathers chose to work out their spirituality in the desert. The reason they sought God there was they knew that God was most easily found in a place without distractions. And secondly, the desert was for them a marvelous laboratory for dealing with their own self. That was their other major spiritual project. It reminds us today of the definition of true religion from the reformer John Calvin, who said that true wisdom is the knowledge of God and the knowledge of oneself. The Desert Fathers were searching for answers to those persistent questions of life. How do I deal with my own sense of importance? My constant need for someone other than myself to give me help in life? When one walks into the desert cares nothing about you, who you are, nor what you bring to it. That desert terrain offers a spiritual antidote for the problem of dealing with that big I in our lives. Another reason the desert monks went out to that desolate place was because in the scripture, the desert was a place of evil and temptation. They found precedence in the life of John the Baptist and especially our Lord Jesus. Throughout his life, Jesus would withdraw into the desert to pray. Jesus began his ministry in the desert, being tempted 40 days. Similarly, St. Antony started his ministry by going into the desert to empty himself and to face temptation. In the desert, the monks faced temptations of hunger, power, and beauty, the things missing from everyday life in the solitude of the desert are the things one discovers oneself wanting desperately. The monks looked on demons and temptations as aids to their spiritual lives, but in the midst of the struggles, they discovered God there with them. After they had spent a considerable time in the desert, they could come to love it as Abba Macarius did. But mainly, the monks saw the desert as a place of training for their place in God's kingdom. Their training in the desert forced them to answer two questions. What is it you let go of? And what do you hold on to? The spiritual journey of the monks of the desert focused by the necessity on those two basic questions of life. There's a story of a young man comes to Cetus, west of the Nile, to seek out the great monk Abba Macarius. He asks Abba Macarius, "How do I get to be a holy man? I want to be a holy man, and I want to be one tomorrow." Macarius smiles and says, "Spend the day tomorrow over at the cemetery. I want you to abuse the dead for all you're worth. Throw sticks and stones at them. Curse at them. Call them names. Anything you can think of. Spend the whole day doing nothing but that." The young man must have thought the great monk was crazy, but he spent the next day doing everything he was told. When he returned, Abba Macarius asked him, "What did the dead people say out there today?" The young man responded, "They didn't say a thing. They were dead." Macarius said, "Isn't that interesting? I want you to go back tomorrow and this time spend the day saying everything nice about these people. Call them righteous men and women. Compliment them. Say everything wonderful you can imagine." So the young man went back the next day, did as he was told, and returned to Macarius. The monk asked him what the dead people said this time. "Well, they didn't answer a word again," replied the brother. "Ah, they must indeed be holy people," said Macarius. "You insulted them, and they did not reply. You praised them, and they did not speak. Go and do likewise, my friend, taking no account either of the scorn of men and women or their praises, and you too will be a holy man." It's a wonderful story that asks two questions. What do you ignore? The answer is the scorn and praise of others. The other question is more indirect. What do you love? That is, since you are not going to be motivated by what others think, to what are you going to give yourself fully? The monks learned that the desert teaches you how to live apart from others, how to live without compulsively needing them to give you worth or to make you feel loved. In the desert, you learn how to live with yourself. Only then are you capable of giving love, sacrificial love that accepts or needs nothing in return. It has been suggested that the Desert Fathers went out to the desert to earn their salvation by means of living lives of deprivation. But we should ask ourselves if that is so. To try to tease out the answer to that, let us think of what the medieval mystic Meister Eckhart once said, that the spiritual life isn't so much a matter of addition as it is subtraction. Though we Protestants talk about justification by faith versus by works, we often act as if the key to the spiritual life is adding all the active virtues, doing great things for God, sharing the gospel with others, and the like. Eckhart said, no, it's a matter of subtraction. How much can you let go of? It's not a matter of anxiously having to prove yourself to your teachers, to your parents, or to God so as finally to make yourself acceptable. It's a matter of letting go of all those compulsive needs for approval and recognizing that only after you abandon those compulsions will you be able to accept God's utterly free grace that comes in the gospel, in Jesus. The desert is a perfect place to let go of the need for recognition. Gregory of Nyssa, back in the 4th century, used the image of the canyon cliff. Being on top of that cliff, in a place of beauty and uneasiness, that's where a person discovers the majesty, greatness, and glory of God. One looks at that canyon cliff and think about it being there thousands of years. And then I ask myself, how did that canyon cliff change on the day my personal world fell apart? As Gregory teaches us from way back there in the 300s, we find, sitting there watching that canyon wall, that it didn't change at all. In the midst of our worlds falling apart, something didn't change. It was waiting, staying there as if for us, in the same way that God does not change. That stone cliff, a metaphor of God, invites us to pour out all the grief and anguish we can muster, then accepts it all without rebuke, receives it all right there in the desert. Something amazing happens at that point when we become silent enough and empty enough, pouring out our needs to God in that desert place. We are able, for the first time, to hear what we had never heard before. And that's a single word whispered by Jesus: love. It's one of those words we can't hear until we're utterly silent and utterly empty. Speaking about what the most devout desert monks had experienced, John Climacus wrote, "Lucky the man who longs for God as a smitten lover does for his beloved."